coming up on All Access.
Woo!
Let's go, Pat!
I'm able to do our job. Blocking sets away. Big plays, baby.
Shotguns down. Four-man rush. Throw down the middle for Gronkowski. Open. Hit on the 15-yard line. Staring on his feet. Dragging defenders forward. And throws across the middle. Wide open, James White. Walking in. Touchdown, Patriots.
Way to go, Pat!
Steven Jackson takes the handoff. Is a first down carry out to the 25-yard line.
Just being a part of this team and this franchise, especially this late in the season, is, you know, it's very special, and I won't take it for granted.
Great job right there.
The biggest difference from my perspective is that the tablet allows you to zoom in on the play. And so you can actually, you know, capture an individual matchup.
In the old days, they couldn't watch anything on the plane. We had to edit the tapes, tape to tape. They're starting to work on the plane.
Size-wise, hit Marchand. Yeah. I think it'd be the same. We could take the left wing, get the left shot, and we'd be all set.
Yeah, there you go.
It was the Jets who were flying high and dealing the Patriots just their third loss of the season. Welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. Happy New Year to you all. New England closes out the regular season with a trip to South Florida to take on the Dolphins. A win would clinch the number one seed in the AFC, meaning that the road to the Super Bowl would need to go through Gillette Stadium. Obviously, a lot at stake in this week's game. We'll discuss the Dolphins and how the Patriots will approach the game. But before we do, a look back at the sights and sounds of the overtime loss in New Jersey.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Woo!
Let's go, Pat!
I'm able to do our job. Blocking sets wide, big plays, baby. Tight ends on three. One, two, three, times.
Private day, beast mode.
I know we're going to get everything you got.
We all here for a reason.
Biggest game is our fun today. Let's have fun. Let's communicate. Let's get our fifth win of the year. BB's on three, one, two, three, three.
Ivory to the right of Fitzpatrick, out of the gun, takes the hand up, trips it ahead across the 20, tripped up by Daron Harmon.
Man, are they getting gashed, right up the middle.
Wrap this guy up now, wrap him up.
Shotgun snap to Fitzpatrick, stands in the pocket, throws down the left seam for Marshall, has the catch, tumbling into the end zone.
And it's Marshall and Decker together, all right? That's the game. We got to get some stops, we got to get some big plays here, all right?
Listen to me, man. We got to do a better job with our coverage. We got to do a better job with the devil. We got to do a better job attacking, right? We got to do a better job of communicating. Right? Look, we're in the game. It's not a problem.
Snap to Fitzpatrick. Hit by Shear. Ball is loose. It's in the backfield. And the ball is picked up by Jamie Collins at the 10. Squirts off a defender with a stiff arm. En route to a touchdown. Patriots!
What a play up front.
Yes! Way to go, Fitz!
All right, we got to go back out. We got to go back out. Be ready to go. We're going to drive down and score a touchdown right here.
Let's get it now.
Let's go. Let's go.
They need to convert a 4th and 9 from the New York 36. Shotguns down. Four-man rush. Throw down the middle for Gronkowski. Open. Hit on the 15 airlines. Staring on his feet. Dragging defenders forward inside the 10. First down and goal to go. Shotgun snap to Brady, standing in, throws across the middle, wide open, James White, walking in, touchdown Patriots!
Woo! Hey! That's it, man.
Woo! Here we go, J-Dub!
Heads is the call, It is heads.
Patrick dropping back, throwing it left, and a pick play. Creates a catch for Ennis. Streaking down the left sideline to the 45-50, 45-40, wrapped up and brought down at the 30-yard line. Taken down by Daron Harmon. Shotgun snap to Fitzpatrick. Throws it to the right corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Decker. Victory for the Jets.
Wow, Jets look like they just won their Super Bowl.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
And we welcome you back to Patriots All Access. Bob Soucy filling in for Scott Zolak with head coach Bill Belichick. And Bill, did you send Zoe down to South Florida for some early scouting or more likely beach time?
Yeah, I think Scott's down there checking things out for us. So I'm sure we'll see what that report looks like.
As we look back on the last game, before we look ahead to the Dolphins contest, we all know about the outcome and how the final minutes played out in that contest. But to get to that point, considering all the shortcomings you had personnel-wise and the way the game was played, tempo, possessions, did it kind of play out more or less the way you expected or even hoped for, considering that one or two plays changes the outcome of that game?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a point there where, you know, we were behind by a couple scores and, you know, a lot to get back into the game. You know, we had a chance to, on that last drive, you know, it was a one-score game to make it a, you know, to come back and tie it and, you know, a chance to send the game to overtime. It didn't look like there was going to be a great opportunity for that a few minutes earlier. So, you know, it was good to be able to fight back and get into that position. I thought our players really competed all the way through the game. We just didn't, unfortunately, coach or play well enough to, you know, affect the outcome.
As crazy as this thought sounds, and it might be somewhat of a hypothetical, because you see it sometimes in the college game, when you score the touchdown with James White, is there ever a thought in a situation like that, considering all the circumstances of that game, that context, to go for two?
Yeah, we talked about it. Absolutely. Yeah, we thought about it. But I think at that point, we kind of felt like we were, you know, maybe a little bit of the momentum and the quality of the game had shifted, you know, in our favor. You know, we're a little better offensively. We're a little better defensively, and that extending the game wouldn't, you know, be a big disadvantage for us. So, you know, so we played for overtime.
One of the plays that turned that game defensively was the strip sack by Jabal Sheard, leading to your second defensive score in as many weeks. How pleased are you with the way he's come in and really evolved his role with this team?
Yeah, Jabal's done a great job for us, and that was a huge play in the game. It really put us back into the game. And to have that, as you said, come up 2 weeks in a row, that's a good trend, one we'd like to continue.
Thanks so much, Bill. And we will be back with more of Patriots All Access after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We sit down with one of the newest members of the Patriots, running back Steven Jackson.
I want to make sure that if I come in, I can be effective.
And later, we explore how technology is making improvements to the Patriots.
But you're still getting to the same endpoint. You're just getting it to getting there quicker.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access, presented by GEICO, and Happy New Year to you all. Dan Rhodes tells us there's some unfinished business for the Patriots to take care of as they close out the regular season.
Hands it to Bolden, shuffles it back to Brady, out of flea flicker, throw down the middle for Gronkowski, open, but it's incomplete.
They missed out on a golden opportunity Sunday in New Jersey, where they could have wrapped up the top seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
New York wins it, 26-20.
With one game left, they guaranteed a bye and a divisional home playoff game in 2 weeks, but they still have a chance to clinch that top spot Sunday in Miami.
There's only one team that gets a number one seed. You know, it's great if you're that team because it means you've done things better than anybody else over the course of the season. We put ourselves in a good position and hopefully we can go finish strong.
The 12-3 Patriots are banged up, especially on offense. So Sunday in Miami, they'd like to complete a season sweep with the Dolphins, end a two-game losing streak in Miami, wrap up that top seed, and feel good about themselves as they head into the postseason.
We could just said empty the tank one last time and try to go get a win at a place that we always have a tough time winning. I think we're in a good position. And then, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, next week.
With the Winter Classic in town, the Patriots left New England Thursday, but not before Bruins coach Claude Julien spent some time at a Patriots practice, and Bill Belichick spent some time on the Gillette Stadium ice. With the early departure from Foxborough, the Patriots practiced Friday down at Florida Atlantic University as they wrapped up preparations for the 5-10 Dolphins.
It's great. It's great. 82 and sunny. We're excited.
You know, we experienced it last year when we went to San Diego. It did something to our team, brought us a little bit closer. So hopefully we can get something similar going while we're out here. Just, you know, it's just us out here spending a little extra time together. It's always a good thing.
Something to watch on Sunday, Patriots kicker Steven Gostkowski leads the league in points scored. And if he finishes on top at the end of the day, he will be the first player to lead the league in points scored for four straight seasons since the legendary Gino Cappelletti did it with the Patriots from 1963 to 1966. From the CBS scene in Foxborough for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Joining me now is Patriot running back Steven Jackson. And it's weird to say Patriot running back Steven Jackson. What has it been like for you so far? Has it been a whirlwind since you've been here?
It has been a complete whirlwind, but it's a good one. It's for good reason. And, you know, just being a part of this team and this franchise, especially this late in the season, is, you know, it's very special. And I won't take it for granted.
You haven't played in about a year. So what was your mentality like, first of all, when you got the call and you decided to come back? Were the Patriots the team you wanted to come back to? Or
and, you know, it was a short list. It was only three teams on that list, and, you know, they were number one. But going back to your first part of your question is, what was my mentality?
Yeah, what was it like?
I wanted to be honest with myself, and I wanted to be honest with Coach. And I said, Coach, you know, really appreciate the phone call, but I want to make sure that if I come in, I can be effective. Let me work myself out. And luckily enough, I was in St. Louis at the time, where my trainer that's been training me for the last 6 years, he was there. So we went out on the field. I did some football drills, ran around, and I have been keeping in shape, but it's a different shape, and as you understand. So once I went through that workout, about 2 hours, I said, you know what, I looked for all the reasons to say no, and I didn't find it. And I called Coach back and said, I want to take you up on that offer if it's still available.
What's it like, you know, you had a chance to get some of the rust off against the Jets. Is it like riding a bike? What's it like trying to get the wheels going again?
It's like riding a bike once you get the ball in your hand. It's the it's the pre-snap. It's getting ready, seeing what the defense is going to present you before the play. And you have to get used to that again because defense at this level are really good at disguising what they're trying to do. But once the ball's in my hand, yes, it is riding a bike. And, you know, it's just getting into the groove of thing and making sure that those cuts and that quick burst is still there.
You had a familiarity with Josh. That had to help knowing the offense a little bit. Because there's a lot to learn, isn't there?
It is a ton. It's a ton. You know, I go to sleep pretty early because my mind is just in overload. You want to be able to dissect the offense just as quick and as fast as everyone else in the huddle, as well as, you know, I don't take for granted that those other running backs in the room with me have been here all year. And I don't want to take opportunity from them, and I'm not making the best of it. So once I do get that opportunity, I want to make sure that I'm doing myself justice as well as the team.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
All right. Steven Jackson, I guess. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Hi, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate. All right, the offense hasn't looked great lately, but reinforcements are on the way. So, when all those guys do come back, is it the offense of old, or is it more of the same?
Getting this offense back to normal, to me, is less about getting guys like Amendola and Edelman back, and more about protecting Tom Brady. Until this offensive line starts to play better, nothing else really matters. That's what I need to see.
You don't have to take my word for it. Take Tom Brady at his word, and he said when Edelman and Amendola are on the field, he will be clicking with them very quickly. When he clicks with those guys, the offensive line is good enough. Brady gets rid of the ball quickly. The passing game soars. Points come.
All right, it's definitely the offense of old. When those guys come back, this offense will be moving like it did in the past. We're talking, you know, Amendola. We're talking Edelman. We're talking third down conversions. Not 1-for-10 like it was last week against the Jets. It's definitely going to be a different offense. All right, I'm Christian Fourier for this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate. Merry New Year!
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Coach Belichick joins us once again as we talk about the Miami Dolphins. Division foe, obviously they've gone through a season of continuous transitions with the coaching staff, and they have some young players, though, who've emerged of late. How dangerous is this opponent on Sunday, considering that you've gone against the Dolphins in that setting before in South Florida, and traditionally it's been a tough place to play?
Yeah, it's always tough down there, and you know they did a good job against us last year in the opener. They've got a very explosive team offensively. You know, they're at the top of the league in big play runs. They're at the top of the league in big play passes. You know, defensively, they have a real good front. They lead the league in negative runs, runs for negative yardage. Really good skill players, really explosive team, and very dangerous.
J.A.J.I., the rookie out of Boise State, wasn't around the first time you played them. Devontae Parker's come along. They have a new offensive coordinator, though. What changes have you seen for Miami since that first meeting?
You know, not a lot. I think that when Coach Campbell took over, that was really the big change. You know, this has just been kind of a continuation of what they've been doing since whatever it was, week four, week five, when Dan Campbell took over.
You're taking the team away from Foxborough a bit earlier than usual because of the Winter Classic, so you'll have a couple of extra days in Miami in preparation. How similar is this to late last season, the experience you had in San Diego, and what benefits could there be when it comes to team bonding, especially considering all the new guys you've brought into this organization this year?
Well, I think it's in some respects similar to the San Diego trip, just a lot shorter. You know, we went to San Diego. We got in Sunday night after the Green Bay game. So here it'll be Thursday night. So that's, you know, quite a bit of it's a different time frame. But, you know, our team will be by itself, together, where it probably needs to be at this time of year. And I'm sure that that'll be beneficial for us.
And time now for our Twitter ace ticket question. It comes from Fran in Marblehead. With one game left, your team is second in the league in sacks. And I know there's more to measuring a defense than simply sacks. But she wants to know, how big of a role has it been to your overall defensive play to have that sack total where it is?
Well, I think anytime you can create a negative play defensively, it just puts you very far ahead in the down and distance situation. So anything, whether it's a sack, a negative run, could be an offensive penalty that, you know, forces the offense to get off a track where they can't go, you know, first down, second and medium, third and short, and they either are in second long or third and long, then the advantage swings to the defense. So those plays that create that situation, whether you cause them the running game, the passing game, or it could be an offensive mistake that puts the offense in that situation, just, you know, tilts the scales in favor of the defense.
There's only one way for you to ask the coach a question, and it's by Twitter. Follow us at Patriots, and of course, hashtag AskBB. Coach, we've got the Belastrader coming up, a lot to look forward to.
It's an explosive play from those Dolphins.
I will be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
Gillette Stadium is hockey town this holiday weekend.
Feel better.
Yeah. But first, Coach Belichick gives us a refresher on the Miami Dolphins.
A lot of explosive players here for the Dolphins offensively.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette One Pro Glide Refill, up to 1 month of comfortable shaves. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com. Profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access. You know, gone are the days of the 8mm film and projectors. The NFL has embraced the digital age. And as Bob Soucy explains, the Patriots are eager adapters when it comes to new technology.
Time is definitely saved, but you're still getting to the same end point. You're just getting it to getting there quicker.
Succinct and to the point. That's exactly what has enabled the Patriots to become more efficient. Case in point, the sideline pictures.
You know, still prints back in the day were black and white. They would be taken at the course of each snap of the ball. They would be put into a binder. That binder then would be presented to the coach. What Microsoft technology has done is they basically then take this picture and they put it on a Microsoft Surface tablet. The picture is color, and you can have two shots on the tablet. You can have an end zone shot and a sideline shot on one page. And then if you decide you want to look at the end zone picture, you click on that end zone picture and you can expand it, the two-finger pinch, and you can bring it up. It's phenomenal because you can take those pictures, like I said, expand them out. You can show the players in real time, in a sense.
You know what? You may be a little too wide.
In color, zoomed, and it's very good technology.
Great job right there.
The biggest difference from my perspective is that the tablet allows you to zoom in on the play. And so you can actually, you know, capture an individual matchup, and you lose some of the clarity, but you can blow that up. You can see pretty clearly hand placement, pad level, footwork at times, some of those little details that the picture, you know, because you can't manipulate it at all, it's much more difficult to see. So that part of it's been very helpful.
I will walk around with Bill's tablet so that at any given time Bill wants to look at a Surface tablet, I'm available for him to take that from me. He doesn't have to look for it. He doesn't have to put it down. He doesn't have to carry it if he doesn't want to. So I'm constantly listening for coaches to say, hey, something's wrong. We've been pretty good to some degree in the sense that they've been staying up. We have a pretty good system where the defense puts them behind the bench. Offense keeps them nearby. As long as the wireless technology stays up, it's been a pretty solid application.
Well, it gives you the opportunity to probably have more pictures in a shorter amount of time. So it's been, the quality of them is good. You know, you're able to see a, you know, sideline end zone shot of the play before the ball snapped and then after the ball snapped. So it kind of gives you, you have to put some things together, but gives you an idea of what happened on the play and, you know, you kind of see the relative location of everybody.
Second down there, pulling the guard to the outside back.
When I was a young coach, some veteran guys, some older coaches who were really good and also not closed-minded, you know, receptive to looking at different ways to do things, different technologies that were coming into the game at that time. And I thought, you know what, that's really important. If you want to have any longevity in this thing, you've got to be willing to do that because at some point in time, there's going to be advancements that, you know, help significantly.
The technology revolution has extended to after the game as well.
They're starting to work on the plane. Once we hand them out to these guys, then they're away they go.
Essentially puts you ahead of where you would normally be before we had those capabilities.
The old days, they couldn't watch anything on the plane. We had to edit the tapes, tape to tape. Now, that took a lot of time to do offense, defense, and special teams. We're talking two and a half hours before they can even get a tape.
And then typically, if it's a day game or even an afternoon game, you're getting back late. So the first thing that you're going to do Monday morning is to go back and watch the video of the game. So now when you're on the road, you essentially have the game graded and reviewed by the time that you land, so you already have the jump on the next day. So it's helped them a multitude of levels, no question.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette.
What's going on? A little New Year's dancing.
I want more airtime right now. That's my New Year's resolution.
What I want to help this hangover from last night.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk football.
Yes.
Miami Dolphins and Dominican Sue. Let's go back to, I want to say last year, but last year's 2015. We have to go back to 14 when you played him when he was at Detroit.
I get it. I know what you're talking about.
Quick step, three step, five step drops from Tom. I don't want Tom Brady being hit.
All right, so what can you do? You're the offensive line, right? All right, so I'm big at Dominican Sue. Okay, what do you do? Double team him, no matter what. Commit to it. Every pass protection is going to account for Dominican Sue. The other way is slide protection, where it doesn't matter. You slide to the left.
Doesn't matter where
I go. Every gap is protected. And most importantly, and I knew this, as a former quarterback, I just want to get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
I want a three-step drop, and I'm gonzo.
So the best thing about Brady and the thing that he does is that back foot, that left foot. So when he's pulling out, it's one, two, three, boom, ball's gone. So whether or not, and we got to eliminate the hits. So if any other game, more so than any other, that front needs to be and have Tom's back because I don't want hits on number 12.
Yeah, you know, and if you take this, you take this group, this offense, and this defense for the Miami Dolphins, you get on them early, they're going to give up. Their backs are packed and ready for an offseason.
I'm going down to Miami. I got a boat leaving in 5 minutes. I got to get the heck out of here.
Fish it later.
The Patriots are leaving a chilly Foxborough bound for the Sunshine State and a division rivalry game with Miami looking for the 13th win of the season. I'm Miranda Mason, and here's a look at your storylines. Not only is New England looking for number 13, but they have one more chance to secure the number one seed in the AFC. That would mean home field advantage throughout the playoffs, a luxury that the banged up Patriots would benefit from because those injuries continue to plague the Patriots. Last week, Sebastian Vollmer was carted off, and he joins a club of players that did not play last week, including Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, and Danny Amendola. So once again, the question is, how will Bill Belichick balance a must-win and the health of his players? But maybe some sunshine and warmth will do them some good. The Patriots headed to Miami on Thursday and are taking over the practice facilities at Florida Atlantic. That'll give the Patriots a chance to be acclimated and dialed in to an important final regular season game. That'll do it for your storylines. Now let's take a look at Opponent News, brought to you by Geico.
The Opponent News is brought to you by Geico.
Miami's year has been miserable with coaching and coordinator changes throughout the season. For the regular season finale, interim head coach Dan Campbell is looking for one thing.
I'm like I was when I first took over. I just want to win, and I want to win a game, and you got one more, and it's a good team that's coming in, and I just want to go out and compete and find a way to win. That's what I want to do.
Now let's check in with Coach Belichick because it's time for the Belichrader.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time for the Belichrader. And, Coach, we're going to go back about a month and cue up the Dolphins and the Eagles.
Well, a lot of explosive players here for the Dolphins offensively. You don't really see this too much. This is, Miller, their leading rusher out of the backfield. This is actually Landry in motion. And they get a lot of production out of their backs in the running game and in the passing game. Miller, Williams, they do a good job. Here's, a good double move, stutter move by Miller here from this empty formation. So, comes out, fakes a slant, gets a matchup on the linebacker, and Tannehill makes a great throw there, gets the ball down the field. So they're capable of making a lot of big plays. They lead, they're right at the top of the league in terms of big plays offensively. Both in the running game and in the passing game. This is a player that we didn't really see in the first game. I want to get you ready to pronounce this for the game.
J-J-I, Boise State rookie.
Number 23, that's Jay. And big, strong inside power runner with good quickness. Here you can see him getting downhill. Likes to run in between the tackles. Good pad level, good strength. Runs through the arm tackle here at the line of scrimmage. Rips off about a 15-yard run. Plows through a couple more arm tackles there from the secondary. Good, strong, tough runner to go along with Miller and Williams. Very, very explosive group in the backfield. Here's the same play from the end zone view. And this is what we call it's a little bit of a misdirection play. We call it a flash play where the line all works hard in one direction. And then one player comes back and just try to create a natural separation in the defense. And again, when everybody blocks in the same direction, a lot of times there ends up being a gap somewhere here on the front side of the play too. So you have a chance to get it here, and then you have a chance to possibly get it here between the backside tackle and the flash blocker, the tight end coming back across. So, you know, here this is a good example of, you know, here's a running lane, and you have the defensive end who's containing the quarterback on the bootleg on the backside. You also have a defensive back who's got coverage on the blocker back here. So this really takes out two guys, and then, again, there's a chance to hit, you know, the run lanes here on the front side, and this cut block here on the backside by Fox gets a J through the line there and gets a good run. You can see he does the rest here, good open field running. Good job of running through those, like I said, those arm tackles by the secondary turned into a 20-yard run.
We go from one rookie to another. Here's Devontae Parker, the number one pick out of Louisville.
Right. This is Parker at the top of the screen, number 11. He didn't, you know, wasn't a big factor for him early in the season as he was coming through some injuries, but he's back now. And, you know, it's been very productive for him. Here he is on a go route outside against the Colts and Toller. Again, big, strong guy, goes up and, you know, takes the ball away from him. Coverage isn't bad, but, you know, their receivers do an excellent job making big plays down the field. And, you know, Tannehill loves that deep ball.
They've got big physical receivers with Landry and Parker, a guy who's coming into his own, coach. And Kenny Stills is a guy we saw as a Saint a couple of years ago scoring a deep ball here.
Right. This is Stills here at the top of the screen. Very good speed. Again, good downfield receiver. This is Stills. This is a couple times we've seen where they've come in and they've kind of faked that slant move and double move the corner. But here's a, you know, deep ball on down the sideline against Buffalo. Again, we're going to have to do a real good job here of not getting the ball thrown over our head on these deep balls, as well as, you know, stopping the running game and, you know, not letting them control the ball with those runs. They do a good job of mixing that, and they're a very explosive team.
Now, a year ago, we saw the Dolphins get to a punt against your Patriots in the season opener in Miami.
Oh, you don't have to remind me of that, Bob.
Sorry.
Here they are in an overload rush. They have six guys over here and two over here on the right side. And you can see that the Philadelphia protection, you know, they're kind of, they mismatch the overload. So, you know, the Dolphins have an advantage on this side coming through here. This is Vigil, number 49. He's also, you know, getting a lot of playing time for him defensively at linebacker. Just pretty much running over the personal protector, getting his hands on the ball. The Dolphins love to rush punts. They do an excellent job rushing both punts and field goals. So our protection on punts and you know, being able to get off the line and get into our coverage lanes after we protect, you know, is going to be challenging. But they do a great job. They always have down there rushing the punts.
And their special teams coordinator, Darren Rizzi, likes to rush kicks as well.
Absolutely. They're very good on the punt and field goal rushes. The key guy in the field goal rushes is Vernon, number 50. And this is him, you know, sort of hard to tell what's going on there. You got a lot of guys, you know, down on the line, all close together, and then it seems like Vernon always is the guy that, you know, springs through the line of scrimmage, gets penetration here and almost blocks his kick against Buffalo. If we look at it from the end zone, we can really kind of see how all that happens. Lining up in an overload rush, so we have the six rushers over here on the defensive left. And so the end here comes and kind of takes the tight end out. Inside, this is Phillips and Sue coming in here, and that's forcing the guard and tackle to block down. So there's Vernon with a quick swim move here out between the tackle and the tight end. You can see the natural seam there. He's got good quickness, does a good job of, you know, getting his feet over the pile here and not getting tripped up. Comes through clean, flattens it out, and almost makes the play. So our protection in the kicking game is going to be key for us this week.
Yet another reminder, be sound in every face. Coach, great stuff. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Bill Belichick and the Belestrator. Back with more on Patriots All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
I could have played hockey. That's a great sport. You know, it's fast, a lot of action. Contact, skill, speed. I mean, football, lacrosse, hockey, you know, they all kind of have those elements of contact, speed, skill, you know, in varying forms, but you know, I think all, you know, they're all exciting.
That's awesome.
I know how that goes.
Not used to seeing a rink out here.
Fastest improving guy I've seen so far, though. In a minute, he put the skates on the ice till the end.
Are you in the lineup?
I don't think
we're... size-wise, him, Marchand. Yeah. It could be the same. He could take the left wing. He's a left shot. We'd be all set.
Yeah, there you go.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton, alongside Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. Time now for our panel discussions in our Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. And I got to start with the coin flip. The coin flip.
Yeah.
Surprised by it all that Patriots chose to kick?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think it was a terribly outside the ball. I mean, it was a little unconventional, but I don't think it was a terrible decision. I think he felt a little bit more faith in the defensive side of things and maybe felt a field goal was more attainable if they were able to come up with a stop. But surprised, that's the question you ask? Yes, I was a little surprised.
It's unconventional. The word Paul used is what I would focus on. I think the other part of this was the reaction of Matthew Slater at midfield when there seemed to be some confusion. Mm-hmm. And I think when we talk about how it all unfolded, sort of separating that aspect of it, Matthew Slater not fully understanding that you don't get to pick which side you defend when you elect to kick off, versus the decision itself, which is I'm going to put the ball in the hands of my defense,
right,
per se, instead of Tom Brady, which is a little bit unusual.
Well, let me ask you this. If Bill Belichick had to do it all over again, would he make the same decision?
I think in this particular game, he would have. If he had to play Sunday's game over again, I think he felt strongly in that he did the right thing.
Well, I think he would definitely do it again, Steve. And I think the example to look back on is the game in Denver. And they went to overtime, and they had just tied the game, and he elected to receive. They won the toss, and they went 3 and out, punted to Denver. 3 plays later, with the short field, the game's over.
But wasn't that weather-related?
That one wasn't. The one that was weather-related against Denver was a couple years ago with Peyton Manning here. But this was 4 weeks ago.
Well, let's look ahead, shall we? Because right now the Patriots have a ton of injuries. And how do you now go into the Miami game with all these guys still trying to get healthy again?
I think it's an interesting situation for Belichick to deal with, because you are weighing that. There is some importance to the game now, and I do think having the number one seed, Mike, is important, and having that peace of mind knowing that if you win, you have no possibility of having to play a playoff game outside of this building. So I think you have to weigh it, but I still think you have to use a discretion, because it's much more important to have guys ready to go 2 weeks from now. You know, these guys that are on the mend, I would err on the side of giving them a little bit more rest, and you should be able to win this game anyway.
You have medical decisions and you have coaching decisions.
Exactly.
And I think that's the distinction we want to make here. A medical decision is, hey, this player can go or he can't go. And then you have a coach's decision, which is, okay, now that we know the player is available to us, how much do we want to use that player? And I think that's really the big question here, Steve. I think they need the number one seed. The one thing you don't want is to have to go to Denver. You know, I mean, that's the one place. If you were to line up 15 AFC venues and tell me, rank them, you know, which is the one you don't want to go to, my pick is Denver.
What is it about the Miami Dolphins, as bad as they are this year, but over time, they always seem to give the New England Patriots fits in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, it is true. I think this is a little bit of a different situation because Miami is just so out of it and has absolutely nothing to play for. But I think it's 7-7 or something, you know, along those lines down there, and Brady has had his struggles at Miami, and they've had some struggles late in the season at Miami. I don't know why it is. I don't think it's that good of a football team, and we've seen them lose to some bad Miami teams down there, and this is certainly one of their weaker teams right now.
The thing that stands out to me is the pass rush. You know, you go back to Jason Taylor back throughout the years, and Cameron Wake, who we won't see because of the injury. They are able to get pressure on Tom Brady, force him to maybe accelerate that decision-making process. Whether they can do it in this game, Steve, I'm not so sure. I've sort of had this vision of them having the golf clubs lined up outside their locker room, so when the game's over, they pick up the golf clubs and their offseason is underway.
Heading to Doral. All right, prediction time. What do you got?
Yeah, I think the Patriots win regardless of their personnel. I'm definitely concerned about who's going to be in the lineup this week and how that's going to be managed and all that, but regardless of who's on the field, the Patriots have more talent than what Miami has, coupled with Mike's point about the tee times that I absolutely agree with. The Miami has mailed this one in. Patriots win, I don't know, 27-13.
I like them 33-13, Steve.
I'd
be surprised if the Dolphins put up much of a fight.
All right, so both you guys are saying that they will have home field throughout the playoffs.
That's right.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, that would do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Happy New Year, everyone.